We all have burdens to bear. There is not a single one among us who does not struggle from time to time with various things that could be described as burdens. The word burden is a word that occurs many times in Scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament, varying very little significantly from translation to translation. Usually, a burden is a burden. There are some times that the word is used to represent something that must be borne or carried, or, as we say today, sometimes put up with. But the Apostle Paul particularly used the word as a verb, an action word, when he told both the Corinthians and the Thessalonians numerous times, "I did not burden you. I did not become a burden to you. I was not a burden when I was among you." What he was saying in those instances was that he did not depend upon them for his support. He did not become a liability that had to be taken care of while he was there with them. Interesting that he would use that word, that concept, burden. This morning, I want us to think a little bit about bearing burdens, and we're going to use as our text for our study that passage that Terry read to us just a few minutes ago at the beginning of our service. As I say, we all have burdens, no matter who we are, no matter what kind of family we come from, no matter what our income level or our tax bracket is, no matter if we're doing a good job or a poor job of living the Christian life, whoever we are, we all have burdens. Our humanity is said to be one of the great equalizers of mankind. In other words, if we are human, then no matter what else is true of us, we're all in that sense the same because we are all burdened from time to time. Now, not all burdens affect all of us in the same manner, and even sometimes the same type of burden affects different ones of us in different ways. Now, there are all kinds of burdens that we have to bear. Some are hidden. Some are very public and open. Some are very private. And some of them cannot be concealed no matter what we may try to do. And as a general rule, people handle burdens in many different kinds of ways. Some people make an open display of their burdens and never cease from complaining about them and all of the things that they think are wrong in their lives and things that constitute unfairness or seem to indicate that they believe that there's something wrong with the way that they're treated in every regard. On the other hand, there are some who seem to be icons of discretion. And in a manner of speaking, they wear their sackcloth under their robes. I use that terminology to remind us of the case of the king of Israel recorded in 2 Kings chapter 6. During that time when Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, had laid siege to the throne city of Samaria, and the people had been without food so long that the text there tells us that some of the mothers were actually boiling and eating children. It's there in 2 Kings chapter 6. Jot it down. You don't need to turn over there and read it now. We've got other things that we need to give our attention to. But the Bible says that when the king rent or tore his garments, everyone saw that under his royal robes he was wearing sackcloth because of the great distress of that time when things were so bad that his people were literally starving to death within the walls of the city. It's not uncommon at times for these burdens to seem to be inescapable. They might have to do with family members, maybe even a spouse. And, you know, you're pretty much stuck with your family and pretty much stuck with your spouse in a general sense. A burden may be rooted in a physical condition or a condition of the physical body that the best doctors in the world can't seem to do anything at all about. A burden may have sprung up in the form of grief. And sometimes that grief may seem to be bottomless in its depth. And it is often at times like that that some people arrive at the conclusion that no one has the burdens that they have. I read once of an elderly woman in a small Chinese village who had lost her son, and as is often the case, her son was very, very dear to her, and no matter what she did, she could not find comfort and release from the overwhelming grief that had come upon her. She went to a very old and wise man in the village and asked for his counsel, and he told her what to do. He said, "Go out and find a home that has no sorrow or grief, and bring me a mustard seed from that home, and I will restore your son to you." So she went out. Several days passed, and after about 2 weeks, she returned to that old man and she said this. She said, "I have been so selfish in my grief, for there is sorrow in every home." You know, that's very true. The fact is, we all have burdens. The fact is, not every burden is the same. And it is a fact that not every one of them is to be dealt with in the same manner. And so I'd like for us to sort through some of that this morning. And in order to refresh our minds, I'd like to call to your attention again that passage that Brother Terry read to us a few minutes ago from Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 through 5. I had him read it from the King James translation. I'd like to share with you the New American Standard translation now, which says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks that he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load." A little bit of a difference there in the wording. You know, as an aside, it's pretty much impossible for me to turn to the 6th chapter of the book of Galatians and skip over verse 1. No matter what else I'm doing, verse 1 just simply screams for my attention. You remember that verse? Brethren, if anyone is caught in a transgress or a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to yourself that you too not be tempted. Now, with that having been said, let's consider these burdens. And I want to share with you three things. First of all, there are some burdens that come upon us that need to be shared with others. Verse 2 that we just read says, "Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." Obviously, God intends for some burdens to be shared. He intends for us, He commands us, to help one another in the bearing of some burdens. Many of the loads that we bear in this life grow infinitely lighter under the touch of a friendly hand or at the sound of an encouraging word. There's a spiritual principle that is at work here in this fact, and it is equally true in the world of physical labor. And in fact, Solomon uses it as an illustration as he gives us these words of wisdom from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. In other words, they can get more done. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Solomon says, in every endeavor, generally speaking, in human existence, it's good to have help. It's good to have someone share the load. It's good to have someone join in accomplishing that singular purpose. Now, this is more than the old idea that misery loves company. It's a very basic fact that no one is so strong that he does not ever need the help of someone else from time to time. It is true that some of us are stronger than others. And no doubt there will always be those who try to exploit the assistance of others, as though they are constantly in need and never can get enough help. In fact, as I contemplated this sermon, I thought surely it would be timely to add a fourth point to this. I didn't, but I'll just touch on it briefly. The fact that it seems that in our day and in our culture, we've got some who are professional burden bearers. In other words, all they do is bear burdens. They depend on others to help them with every single thing, and they can never, ever seem to accomplish anything by themselves. They feel like they've been abused. They want to blame everybody for all that's wrong and think that or insist that they've been shortchanged of all of the privileges that everybody else had, and their lives are so miserable because they've been so mistreated. It is a fact that there are some people who have been horribly mistreated, but it is also a fact. There seems to be a slice of our culture today who are professionally dependent upon everybody else. I was listening to a couple of guys talking at work the other day, and one of them was lamenting the fact that from the time he was 10 years old, his dad had him working various jobs, one thing or the other, washing cars, cutting grass. Young fellow, about 20 years old. I couldn't pass up an opportunity to share a little bit of elderly wisdom with him. And I said, one of these days, son, you're going to be thankful for the fact that your daddy made you go to work. And one of the other older guys standing around said, he's right about that, boy. We are thankful for those who help us bear our burdens, but we should never become those who seem to be perpetually burdened down and always needing someone to help us, bring us through. There are times when the storms of life will unleash upon us overwhelming waves of difficulty. And on just such occasions, it is a glory unto Christians if we will rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, as Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 15. Not only should we be willing to accept the help of those who can best help us carry these loads as true servants of God, we must be on the alert also for opportunities around us to help and serve one another in their darkest hours. To properly do that, we need to equip ourselves with certain things. We need richer and more sensitive love and tolerance to those who are weak. We need hearts of compassion and pockets that are generous to those who are needy. We must properly evaluate and appreciate the unique eternal value of every single soul. And we should, at a moment's notice, be ready to ease the burdens of the weary, recognizing the benefit that will come to the giver and to the receiver alike. As Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Some burdens need to be shared. Secondly, though, there are some burdens that must be borne alone. As verse 5 of our text says, "For each one will bear his own load." New American Standard Version, King James Version, "Every man shall bear his own burden." Actually, the burdens of verse 2 and the load of verse 5 are two entirely different things. And I think it's important for us to understand the distinction. You see, literally in the original language of the New Testament, the Greek language, the word in verse 2, burden, "bear ye one another's burdens," refers to a weight in an unspecified quantity. The word in verse 5 is an entirely different word, which was often used to describe the lading or the cargo of a ship in a specific amount that had been assigned to that particular boat. In other words, that is the cargo for that ship and only that ship, and none of it is to be carried by another ship. That was the real use of that word, load. For each one will bear his own load. Some of our burdens are in the form of responsibilities that are ours alone to carry. And no one else can do those things for us. No one else can step in and handle that for us. And this goes back to our discussion a few minutes ago of those who seem to be perpetually needy and never get around to doing anything for themselves. They are not bearing their own load. Paul tells us of our most fearful responsibility in Romans chapter 14, verse 12. So each one of us will give an account of himself to God. You remember well the lesson that Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 22, saying that each person must bear the burden or shoulder the responsibility of patterning his or her lives in obedience to the will of the Lord. You recall there that Jesus illustrated it with the two guys who were building each a house. And he said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. What we each do in that regard is the determining factor in whether or not we are a wise builder or whether we are a foolish builder. No one else can bear that particular load for us. We each ourselves either measure up or miss the mark with the lives that we live. As I said, one of the more disgusting traits of our culture today is this blame game that so many people seem to try to play in excusing themselves from personal responsibility for their actions. Some have convinced themselves that they should have to bear no responsibility for their actions, but rather it's the fault of their parents or their teachers or their upbringing or society in general. The fact is, sins have physical consequences, and we will not be able to avoid them, even though we may try to blame others. When we sin, we must shoulder the responsibility. Some burdens need to be shared. Some things have to be borne alone. But it's also a fact, number three, that some burdens are within that class of those things that are too heavy to be borne. Those burdens must be shed. In Psalm 55, verse 22, tells us how. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Now, it's important for us to understand what this passage is telling us, because nowhere does God ever say, "I will make all your troubles go away." He didn't say that. No matter how much we wish he had said that, he never said that. However, there are many things that he has said, among them the predictive words of Isaiah 53, verse 4, describing the suffering Savior in this way: "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." In Psalm 18, verse 35, the psalmist says, "You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great." Yet again, in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, "Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You may recall that three times the Apostle Paul says that he besought the Lord to remove that affliction, that thorn in the flesh, as he called it. He tells about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And every time, Paul says, the answer was always the same. Never did God say, "Okay, I'll remove that," or "Okay, it'll go away." Rather, as he says in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 12, the answer was, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." It's important for us to realize that God didn't take Paul's burden away from him. And there are some burdens that some of us right now are in the process of bearing. And maybe we've prayed for relief, asking God to take those things from us so that we can get some relief. And it may even very well be that we've become discouraged because it doesn't seem like God has done anything in removing those burdens. We must remember that what God often does, and what he did in the case of Paul and his thorn in the flesh, is to pick us up, burdens and all, and carry us along. Isn't that a great mental picture? Isn't that a great spiritual concept? There is yet another song that we often sing that describes the process. And it begins with a question: "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? The burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deeper night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Does he see? Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Bearing burdens is not easy. Yet it is, in the exercise of it, one of the many aspects in which God touches our lives so very deeply. And often we simply fail in the ability or in the practice of recognizing the wonderful spiritual sustaining help that God gives us when He picks us up, burdens and all, and carries us along. Are you a child of God? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ through belief, repentance, confession, and baptism? If you've not done that, there is no greater need for you today at this very moment than to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, the greatest need of your life right now is to be restored to faithful service. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing this song.